Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, indeed. Jumping off into our fourth and final hour here of Sports Talk. Mark Menard at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. We've got Jake Madison this hour, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Mark and I are probably going to tag team that one. I want to bring him into that conversation, handling our Pelicans primer, but also I'm sure he's got Jake's ear and he wants to pick Jake's brain on a few things Pelicans-wise. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. It's been 10 years since the Saints won a Lombardi. How much longer will it be before they win another? Right now, 42% of those voting online at WWL.com, 5 to 10 years. 2 to 5 years, 35%. This season, 23%. Cast your vote or call me at 504-260-1870. Also, you're the Saints GM. I'm rattling off a few names here of the 25 restricted or unrestricted free agents. Vaughn Bell, Eli Apple, Andrus Peat. Which one are you keeping? Who are you letting walk? You're the GM. Those three players, we're going to go groups of threes here for the next hour as we work our way through this. I'm going to give you three players. Call me or text me and tell me of those three players, how many are you keeping? One, two, or three? Zero? You tell me. Vaughn Bell, Eli Apple, Andrus Peat. I'll answer this one for you. Vaughn Bell. He's going to have a market. He had a career year this year. Led LSU in fumbles. Led the league in fumble recoveries and hauled in his first career interception. Bell is, I think, the most consistent player in the Saints secondary. He's going to get paid somewhere. If you're New Orleans, you keep him. Eli Apple and Andrus Peat. You keep him or you let him walk? You tell me. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Also, what would you give up? Is there something you would sacrifice personally to ensure? Now, look, we're having some fun. It's Friday night. What would you give up and sacrifice to get Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform? I'm not talking about the trade all the way from 24 to number one. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about personally, if you could just make it happen like that by not eating donuts for a year or whatever you want to give up, what would you be willing? But it has to be something of that's important to you. Like, I mean, sure, I could go with it. I could say, I'll go a year without eating peanuts. Okay, fine. Because I don't eat a lot of peanuts. But the point being, you got to be willing to sacrifice something. And what would it be to ensure Joe Burrow would land in New Orleans? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Brandon in Slidell. What's going on, Brandon? You're on WWL.
How you doing, Kristen?
I'm good,
thank
you.
Wanted to call and talk about the poll question about how many more years I think the window is opening or closing.
Yeah.
On the Saints like Super Bowl.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so my thing is, like the 2010, like the whole decade, I feel like, I mean, we were so close. Cajun Cannon always says we're so close, but yet we're so far. I mean, we had six seasons where we made the playoffs. All six seasons, we won 11 games three times, and we won 13 games three times. And we only made the NFC Championship 1 year out of those six seasons. So my thing is, I think we still have a slight window to win another Super Bowl and get to it. But I feel like if we don't go all in, which we have the last 2 years, if we don't go all in this upcoming season and Drew comes back for one more push, I don't see it happening in the next 5 or 6 years. I honestly don't, because I feel like we're going to have to sign too many free agents. And if everybody's talking about giving up all this capital to get Joe Burrow, I understand that, but –
Brandon, that's really just a pipe dream that we're just having fun with today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally get that. But the pipe dream is, I mean, So you can say, hey, we'll give up this and that. I honestly think if we do 2 to 3 things and we just get lucky, I mean, San Francisco came out of nowhere this year. I mean, they had the second draft pick in the draft last year. They got a premium pass rusher, and the quarterback got healthy, and they just got a little lucky. So my thing is, we go out, we try to get a legit number 2 receiver in the draft. I don't know if you know any, you know, free agents that we can get another premium pass rusher just to add depth on the defensive line, because rankings.
Well, the thing about it is, Brandon, premier pass rushers typically don't hit free agency. You can trade for them. You can draft them. That's typically how you acquire them. Brandon, I agree with your assessment. I think you do perhaps need to reevaluate who's the weapon opposite of Mike Thomas as a wide receiver. But then again, the way Jared Cook played down the stretch, I don't know that that need is as readily apparent, if that makes sense. Brandon, good call. Thanks for the phone call. Coming back with Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Sit tight, Ronald. I'll get to you as well. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. When it comes to the Pelicans, and Mark, don't take this in any disrespect. When it comes to the Pelicans, one of the guys I really enjoy talking to, Jake Madison as well.
No Locked disrespect taken. Jake knows exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Jake, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
You bet. Look, Mark and I are going to tag team this one, if you don't mind him. He does our Pelicans primer each and every day, so Mark's been doing a great job filling us in and keeping us up to date on the Pelicans, and I'm sure he wants to pick your brain about a few things as well. But, Jake, well, I think Mark told me since December 23rd, the Pelicans are 9-3.
9-3.
9-3. So, Jake, it's a team that's starting to figure some things out here.
Yeah, definitely. You're seeing things come together. You know, it starts on the defensive side of the ball. They had been ranked 24th in the league, so they're 6th, 7th worst in the league at that point. But over the past 13, 14 games, they've ranked right about 8th in the league. So significant improvement on that side of the ball. And it's coincided with Derek Favors coming back and being that anchor down low, providing rim protection, eliminating the pick and roll. He's been unbelievably important for this team. But it's also these guys just being out on the court, spending some time together, developing chemistry, bettering their communication, knowing when to switch, knowing who guards who. And as you've seen that kind of come along this season, they've made big strides on that side of the ball. They're getting stops. They won the game against the Utah Jazz with defense, essentially, last night. So they're playing much better on that side of the ball, and they're starting to win some games.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast here on Sports Talk. And Jake, the much-anticipated debut, Zion Williamson, next week. And what should we expect? I mean, I know he's thought of, you know, he's the number one pick, but reasonably, what should we expect in terms of his impact in the first week that he joins the Pelicans?
You know, it's tough to try and figure that out. I wouldn't say it's going to be significant. He doesn't have a minutes restriction, but certainly they're not going to throw him into the fire and play him 36 minutes or so per night. I expect it to be about 20 minutes in the beginning. I don't even know if he'll be starting and more likely coming off the bench. So does he play in 2 10-minute spurts? Is it 4 5-minute spurts? We've got to kind of wait and see, and it might change on a night-to-night basis. But he's coming back at the perfect time. This team will be healthy. They should have Drew Holiday back, J.J. Redick back. You've seen Brandon Ingram playing well. Derek Favors is back. So he'll step into a pretty fully healthy team, and he doesn't have to be the guy. They have the man on this team in Brandon Ingram after his 49-point explosion the other night. He can come in and just work off ball, rebound, play a little bit of defense, and try and go for a dunk or two, and he will be just fine in this offense, and they'll be able to win games. So I think you'll see him get double figures. He might come close to that in rebounds too, but I wouldn't expect kind of like the performances we saw from him in preseason, where he averaged 23 points, 7 boards, steal and a half per game, and shot 70-something percent from the field.
Jake, Mark Menard here. How much should the New Orleans fan base love assistant coach Fred Vinson and what he's done to help develop the guys on this team? Because I'm of the opinion that it's a lot.
Yes, a significant amount. This is a guy who's been on the coaching staff for a number of years now, working with various players in the Pelicans and Hornets organization, and has helped them just kind of refine their shots. You're seeing him do wonders here with Lonzo Ball. He had a completely broken jump shot for the first 2 years of his career, even in his lone season at UCLA. And they've worked on it and continue to work on that jump shot. And you're seeing it pay dividends out there on the court. he's a very credible three-point shooter now. The free throw stroke isn't there, but he can bomb it away from deep if you leave him wide open, and you're seeing teams realize they can't do that anymore, and he directly credits Fred Vinton with that. They're working before games on that shot. Same for a guy like Brandon Ingram, who needed to refine his shot a little bit, and we've seen how good that jumper of his is this year. He's shooting significantly better from three than he ever has in his career. That mid-range game of his is absolute money. It was what should have been a game winner against the Utah Jazz. And all of that's due to Fred Vinton. And you can go back even further. Tyreke Evans shot the three ball better than he ever had before in his career when he came to New Orleans and worked with Coach Vinton. Same with Anthony Davis. His mid-range jumper is very good, too. And it makes all of these guys just a better threat to be NBA players when you can shoot like that.
We were talking about this earlier, especially when it comes to Lonzo Ball and, you know, the way that making him a credible threat from the three-point line and a better shooter has really unlocked extra levels to his ability to pass the ball, which, you know, now that defenses have to honor him, it's letting him show off what a great passer he really is.
Yeah, and you're seeing that he had 13 assists against the Utah Jazz, and all of a sudden you can't just have a defender sag off and kind of clog the lane, whether it's to take away a drive of his, whether it's to take away a cutter, and that just means there's going to be more space for him to fling the ball around. We've seen teams, and you saw the Pelicans do this to the Lakers last year. They basically said, if you have Lonzo Ball out there on the court, you're playing 4-on-5. We're not going to put a man on him. We'll double the best player, and we'll let him shoot. And against the Pelicans, I think he was 3 of 15 from 3 in that game. Now, he's not going to have very many 3 of 15 nights. He'll be shooting close to 50% if you leave him open like that, and you're going to lose the game because of it. And now that you've got to put a defender out there on him, guys can cut a little bit easier. There's more room for them, and it just opens up the offense significantly.
We know when Zion's coming back. That's going to be on Wednesday. But when do you think we'll get Jrue Holiday back in this lineup?
You know, it remains to be seen a little bit. They actually changed his injury designation. They'd called it a left elbow contusion. He's out for the game tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers, but they're now calling it like a left like strain on his arm, so it's more of a muscular issue. I expect you'll see him play on either Monday, or they might save him from when Zion makes his debut that Wednesday and put a more complete team around the number one overall pick. It isn't a big deal. The fact that they changed the designation kind of clears it up for us a little bit. Maybe they're trying to hide that somewhat. But this doesn't seem like it's a big deal. He wants to be out there. You see him kind of so excited on the bench with these guys. He's having a lot of fun right now, so he wants to be out on the court. I think we'll see him back in the next game or two.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast here on Sports Talk, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Jake, I'm going to throw you a curveball, as I typically do whenever you're on with me. What would you give up? What would you sacrifice personally, if you would, to get Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform? If you could give up one thing and make it happen.
So I wouldn't give up Zion Williamson, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Being a basketball guy here. You know, I'd have to think about that. Like, I'd be willing to sacrifice my car and try and take the streetcar a little bit more to get him here. You know, I'm a Tulane guy myself, but I've been enthralled with this LSU season, and I think that team definitely has to go down as one of the all-time best. And same with Joe Burrow. He looks as sure of a thing as I think I've ever seen when it comes to a pro-ready quarterback. So getting that heir apparent to Drew Brees behind, you know, this team, I think, is a great opportunity. I'll give up my car. I like my car. It's orange. It goes fast. It's a sports car. You know, I think that counts as something here.
Oh, yeah. No car for a year?
Yeah, I'd say let's call it that. Then we're pushing it if we go beyond a year.
That's fair. Good job, Jake. Mark's got more.
What would you give up to get some of Joe Burrow's swag in the Pelicans locker room? Like just his confidence.
They
just
have that, I think. Did you see what the video from the game last night when they had Brandon Ingram walk in there last and he didn't realize they were all ready to not shower him in champagne and cigars, I guess, but just throw water all over him, which was still pretty good. Look at one of the things the guy in the front office has told me for a different team that you got to watch when you watch a team play to understand their chemistry is look at the bench when guys score. If a player scores and the bench is jumping up and down and they're excited, they like that dude. And you've seen it up with players here on the team where a guy scores and the team's kind of quiet and they're not really doing much. This team, whenever anybody scores, is jumping up and down and dancing and hollering. So they're having a lot of fun in the locker room right now, particularly because they're winning more basketball games.
That's a sign of a close team. I've just been around enough teams to realize that. And look, Jake, I think that's important. And that was a part of the vision of David Griffin is the placing the emphasis on team guys, but also guys that that are passionate about basketball. Opposed to like Eric Gordon, I don't think he was necessarily like he loved the game of basketball. He played it because he was good at it. He could make money doing so. But you get my point here, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. It's guys who like live and breathe the game and just love the game versus guys who are doing this kind of as a career to make money. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's your chosen profession, go out and do it. You know, I know a lot of people who have jobs. It pays the bills. They're not necessarily passionate about it. But it's also helpful when you get guys that are basketball junkies, that like to watch other games, that want to go out and play and compete, and it can sometimes take your team to the next level. And when you have young, impressionable guys, and you have three rookies on this team who are in Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Zion Williamson, putting them around those guys like J.J. Redick, like Jrue Holiday, who just love the game, just helps them, I think, a little bit. So there's a lot of thought into the team building that they've done here in New Orleans.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can listen to him wherever you get your podcast. Jake, good to have you back on, man. Talk to you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
All right. We'll step away and come back. First, though, I want to squeeze in Ronald in St. Rose. Go ahead, Ronald. You're on WWL.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Real quick, I would keep Von Bell out of the three names. I would let the other two go. And you was asking another question. When do you think we will make it to the Super Bowl? I think we can make it next year if we get the right players on defense and offense. And also for the draft, I think we got to get someone, a backup quarterback where Drew Brees can train his guy to take his place, like a like from Tulane or one of these good schools that Drew Brees can take under his wing and train him. And thank you for taking my call.
Ronald, thanks for the phone call. That guy might be Taysom Hill. He might already be on the roster. 25 Saints players expected to become restricted or unrestricted free agents. What are you doing with A.J. Klein, David Onyemata, and cornerback P.J. Williams? Of those three, how many are you keeping? How many are you letting walk? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Hope everybody's Friday night is off to a great start. Glad you're hanging out with us. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. What do you do with the following three players? A.J. Klein, David Onyemata, P.J. Williams, all set to become unrestricted free agents. David Onyemata, the big O, started 15 games, finishing with three sacks. Onyemata had 11 quarterback hits that ranks him third on the team behind Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport. I think they're going to do everything they can to keep Onyemata. I mean, they've got to. He's a big part of their plans going forward, I think. What do you do with A.J. Klein? Best season in the Saints uniform in 2019. 2.5 sacks, 67 total tackles, a forced fumble, and a pick six. At what price, how much of a market will he have from other teams? I think the Saints want him back, but with Luke Kuechly retiring in Carolina, could they be in the market for a guy like A.J. Klein? Now, A.J. Klein, to be fair, doesn't play the Mike linebacker like Luke Kuechly does. But he might have some sort of market. P.J. Williams, we thought his market was going to be last year. Didn't really do anything for him in free agency after the DUI. Here's a player that I think is a lot like, they could do the same thing with Eli Apple and P.J. Williams. I think they're going to let both of those guys test the market. And then come back to see me. Go see what you can get out there. If it's good, then take it. If you don't get too much offers or you don't get the offer that you want, come back here, play for another prove-it-year deal at our price. I could totally see that happening with P.J. Williams and Eli Apple. But I think Eli Apple is probably better, has a better chance of getting a team to bite and pay him a little bit. P.J. has been out there a little bit. I think P.J. Williams is a good player. I think he's a really good slot player. He doesn't hold up on the outside very well, though. Wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr., Teddy Bridgewater, and running back Dwayne Washington. What do you do with those three? I think Teddy Ginn Jr. is gone. They're going to let him go. 34 years old. He had a nice little run here in New Orleans. contributed some things, but really here this last season, I mean, the production was not there, not even close to being there. I already talked about Teddy Bridgewater. Dwayne Washington, that's a no-brainer. He's a core special teams guy. He's not going to cost you anything. You bring him back. Bruce in Mid-City. What's going on, Bruce? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Bruce. Thank you.
I want to make an offer for Joe Burrow.
Go right ahead.
Can I include Teddy Bridgewater in there?
No, you cannot. He's not under contract.
Oh. Well, okay, I was going to say,
Bruce,
Teddy
what you should be saying is you can try to franchise tag Teddy Bridgewater and move him, but I would have a counter to that argument as well.
Okay. Well, my offer was included Teddy Bridgewater. You have to give me a minute to rethink it. But Teddy Bridgewater, Alvin Kamara, and three straight number ones this year, the following year, and the year after that. Whew. That would be five pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Would Cincinnati?
You said Kamara and what other player?
One other besides Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes.
Okay. I wouldn't. Michael Thomas is, you know, you can't have him. Who's got value after that?
Teron Armstead.
Yeah.
Teron Armstead. That's who, if you're going to try
really?
To package that deal, yeah. Look, when he's healthy, he's one of the best tackles in football. When he's healthy,
but
the
how
problem
often
is
he healthy?
Well, that's why if you're going to try to deal him, you would try to deal him because of that.
Yeah.
Not because of his ability, his inability to stay healthy. And that sounds like a knock. It's not like the guy doesn't train hard, doesn't work hard. I think he's just got bad luck. I mean, some of the freak, weird injuries that guy has sustained, it's just been bad luck.
Uh-huh.
And look, let me be clear too, Bruce, on Teron Armstead. That guy is as tough as can be too. I mean, he plays through some injuries. One year he played virtually on one leg. Towards the end of the year, he had one good wheel. This year, missed what, two games because of an ankle injury, I believe? I mean, he's tough. He fights through injuries. He's one of the toughest guys on the team. I just think, though, if we're having this dream world scenario where the Saints would try to move up and get Joe Burrow, he would have to be a part of the compensation to the Bengals. I mean, you're not going to get a guy like that. You're not going to get a number one pick. This is not Madden where you could turn the fair trade clause off and give him a seventh round pick and you get the first overall pick. It doesn't work that way. As much as I would like it to work that day in this situation, it just doesn't work that way. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a compensation. What Bruce is offering there with Alvin Kamara, three straight first round picks, and Teron Armstead, I'm saying no, I got Joe Mixon. Offer up somebody else. I don't need Kamara. I've got Joe Mixon. So offer up another draft pick or another player. And again, what we've come to here in this conversation, what we've arrived at is, and I think we already kind of knew this before the conversation, but it can't happen. It's a virtual impossibility for the Saints to move up from 24 to 1. Without giving up weight, I mean, you're going to have to give up three picks, three players, two players, three picks, four picks. I mean, and that's just irresponsible, I would think, to do so. I thought the Mike Ditka thing was incredibly irresponsible. I would say the same thing if that were to go down this offseason with the Saints. Because if you're giving up future number ones, man, not only are you setting your franchise back, but you're also not helping the guy you just drafted at quarterback. Whether it's a defensive piece that you would have used with that number one or whether it's an offensive piece that you would have used with that first round pick. Again, it's a pipe dream. And it's a part of a conversation. We're just having fun. It's not, I feel very confident saying this is not going to happen just because of how hard it is. If you're at 10, you've got a shot to get to one. If you're inside the top 10, you've got a chance. That's why Carolina could be considered. They're at 7. They're within striking distance. I just don't recall, and I could be wrong, I don't recall a team moving up from the 20s all the way to number one. I can't recall an instance where that's happened in the NFL, at least in my lifetime. And I know, you know, prior to there might have been, You know, when since the draft era, there might have been, what, there was 28 teams and 26 teams and 24. And you get the point. I don't think we've ever seen a team climb that far, 23 spots from number 24 to number one in the draft. You just don't have enough ammunition. If by chance you were sitting, if you're a team that was sitting there with two number ones, two number twos, then yeah, I think you could still have the ammunition at 24 to get up to one and still be not totally responsible for selling all those picks in exchange to get that number one all pick. But in this case, the Saints don't have the ammunition. And if you traded a guy like Teron Armstead, and here you are with Drew Brees trying to get one more Super Bowl, trading Teron Armstead doesn't help your cause this year, because you're not a better football team without Teron Armstead. Could you draft a left tackle? I guess you could. I mean, I guess you could. What, the third round?
But not in the first round. You're right. Taking Joe Burrow.
Right. So he's not going to be of the elite. But then again, you drafted Teron Armstead in the third round. So they're out there. You can find them. But if your singular mission is Drew Brees trying to win one more Super Bowl, you're not moving weapons from him. And not to mention, if you're trying to set up Joe Burrow with success, you're not giving up weapons for him. That's why it is a virtual impossibility. It's not going to happen. I get it. Saints fans, you want to see an LSU guy, a quarterback, and it's an obvious future need for the Saints, and you don't want to see him go to Cincinnati because the Bengals have historically been an organization that has messed some things up, and they're unwilling to spend money in free agency. They're notoriously cheap. I get why. I understand all of it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Logan Falgu, the professional wrestler, making his presence known here at Master Control. Did you know that he was a professional wrestler?
I did. We spend a lot of time together on Saint Sundays. I talked to him. And
when did it become official that he's a professional? When did that happen? I know you were working. Logan, get on the mic. I know that you were working towards becoming a professional wrestler as he's stealing the headphones from Mark Menard. That's another wrestling move. Be careful. Don't get DDT'd in there, Mark. When did you officially become a professional?
It was, I think, December 20th or somewhere around there.
So how does that work?
I officially signed the paperwork and everything.
So how does that work?
Well, I went in to go ask about, like, getting on with a promotion, and they said, sure. I'm going to be doing stuff with them from now on. I'm going to be doing a lot of training with them and stuff like that. And, yeah.
What's your wrestling name?
Richard Stryker, as of right now.
Richard Stryker? Why Richard Stryker?
Because they've got me doing a head of security gimmick. So I'm going to be looking all mean and tough. And
okay.
I need to be able to pull that off.
You're a big guy, and you can be physically imposing. But having known you, you're not like this mean dude. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not.
You know, I get you. I'm a very, very nice guy. You can ask Mark here. Isn't that right, Mark?
Whatever he said.
Hey, I'm tickled for you, man. Good stuff. I'm happy for you. Congratulations, all right?
Thank you.
All right, Logan Falgu, the professional wrestler. We got guys that are doing all actors over here. We got professional wrestlers. We got all kinds of multi-talented folks over here. All right, let's step away and wrap this thing up. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Winding down here on Sports Talk, back on a Friday night. I just told Zach, and I was like, get out of there. My turn. I'm in there on Friday nights now. They had too much mic time, those two. No, I'm kidding.
They were having way too much fun in here.
Well, that's a good show, to be honest with you. Like, I genuinely enjoy when they're on. I mean, Zach and Deuce, you're going to get insight that you're not going to find anywhere else. You're just not. Two guys that are recently connected to that program, that Saints team. And not to mention, you know, the music game that they play, you know, with whatever team they were playing, the city's musical choice. So it was a good show. It's just time for them to go, though.
Friday nights are fun when they're here, for sure.
They're not fun when with me.
They're different. They're just a different a different show. But yeah, you know, Zach and Deuce they're great to work with. They're so knowledgeable. Obviously, both played the pro game, and they have so much insight. Friday nights are fun when they're in here. But
I love listening to them.
They're not fun when you're here.
No, I got you. They're a different kind of fun.
Different kind of fun.
I got you. You could just say I'm boring. It's all right.
I feel like I learned something when I'm listening to them break down the game.
Yeah, I do too.
So that's how I would
put it. But yeah, you've learned nothing from me ever. Great. That's I'm being like really, what would they call that? Like self-conscious, right? I'm not. I'm just playing around, just having some fun. If you want to read it online at WWL.com, I detailed the 25 players on the Saints that are expected to become either restricted free agents or unrestricted free agents. So all you got to do is go click on the Saints button, and then you'll navigate throughout the articles that are posted. But you'll find it. It's fascinating. I also explain the difference between exclusive rights free agents, restricted free agents, and obviously unrestricted free agents. So it's online for you. 25 Saints players scheduled for some form of free agency. So check it out if you want to get it ahead of the March 18th free agency period when it opens. And I love the 3-day tampering period that is now in the NFL. Got 3 days, but can't sign any deals. By the way, just a nugget, just some kind of a peek behind the curtain for some fans. The combine is really where deals get done. Trades, free agents. It's kind of looked the other way. You get what I'm saying here? But that's when the conversations at least start. Would you be interested in my client? Hey, would you be interested in maybe making this trade or that trade? It starts there at the combine. You wanted to say something, Mark?
No, I was going to say that's an article where you could definitely teach me something because all that free agency stuff makes my head spin.
Yeah, it could be a little complex, but when you're having to understand the CBA, as I did for 9 years doing the sidelines, you better learn it. All right, that's a wrap. I want to thank Steve Geller for helping us put together the program. Mark Menard at Master Control. Diane Newman, our executive producer and program director. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Christian Garrick. Semper Fi, I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.